We're continuing this morning in the Gospel according to John. Just a couple more weeks of that. John 15, verses 9 through 17. And again, I think these will be familiar words to you. But listen, to those words in the context of our church, our world around us, people that we love. And let us listen for the word of God. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." May God bless our hearing and understanding of this pretty familiar scripture. But were there any new words or images, perhaps, phrases that caught your attention this morning? I chose you. I chose you. And who's he talking to? Yeah. You and you and you and you and you. Love one another. Ah, yes. That's right at the heart. Love one another. Yeah. Comforting scripture, but challenging as well. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Have you ever wanted to be something more? Do you remember back when you were a kid? Did you long to become an adult? When you saw the older kids in school with special privileges, did you want to be like them? When you watch TV today, do you look at the governor or president or Bill Gates of Microsoft or some movie star or celebrity and wish you could enjoy the benefits and privileges that wealth, fame, or power seem to give? It's hard not to sometimes. Are you looking for promotion? What is it that you want from this church? What do you want changed around here? What should never be changed? I know. What needs to be done around this church that I can serve God, serve my church family, and serve this community by doing? Servanthood. Servanthood. How can I be a servant? Think about it. The most important lesson Jesus taught in the Gospel of John was servanthood. I'm proposing that. In fact, at the climax of the story where our scripture is today, the place where all the forces came together to reveal God's plan in that upper room before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, according to John's gospel, rather than talking about Jesus breaking bread and offering the cup, it says Jesus stripped down to his undergarments, tied a towel around his waist, and served each of his disciples. He washed their feet. It was the most humble, selfless act of service a master could offer to his followers. And Jesus said, "I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. You will be blessed if you do this." Could Jesus have been any more clear to his disciples that they should serve each other? But of all the practices passed on by the church, this foot washing ceremony is almost never practiced anymore. And the servanthood exemplified by this ritual is almost just as rare. Jesus served his disciples. Why is it so difficult for people today to serve others? In the Gospel of John, this foot washing was just the beginning of that last evening on earth, which Jesus shared with his disciples before his arrest and crucifixion. Jesus used this opportunity to predict his betrayal, to comfort and teach his disciples about the kingdom and the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus began a lesson about how to live in relationship with God and with each other. Just before today's scripture, Jesus proclaimed, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." And again, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Vines and branches. Jesus is surely talking about connections, about relationships. Vines and branches are so closely connected that you can't really tell where one ends and the other one begins. What a powerful image for a society that's all about setting boundaries for what is mine and what is not. It's all about me in this world, isn't it? And maybe that's the problem. Self-interest. Even when Jesus washed Simon Peter's feet earlier in this story, Simon complained, "No, you shall never wash my feet." But Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Unless you allow me into your branch, you can't be part of my vine. You can't look at only your own interests and still expect to be part of relationship, part of community, part of church, or part of God." As I read Jesus' words, I wonder if his servant emphasis was just the beginning, leading to something even greater. You see, Jesus was offering a promotion. Jesus was offering friendship. Have you spent time thinking about that? Jesus was offering friendship. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." A servant is still separated. There's still a distinct boundary between servant and master. Jesus is offering a promotion. Jesus is offering no boundaries because love has no boundaries. Phileo is the Greek word, which is sometimes translated as friendship, but in the Gospel of John, it means love, just like agape love. The same kind of love that the Father and Jesus share with each other, a relationship of unity and mutuality, symbolized by the unity of the vine and branches. And Jesus offers that same kind of love to his disciples. Jesus is offering that same kind of love to you and me. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain connected with Jesus, not just as a servant, but as one who is loved, who is promoted, who is loved so much that the boundaries between you and Jesus are blurred. Where you end, your experiences, your thoughts and feelings, your desires and intentions become one with Jesus' desires and intentions. You get so close to Jesus that a person can't tell you apart. When they see you, they see Jesus. Can you imagine that? Remember the hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus"? What if we sang, "What a Friend Jesus Has in Melanie, in Nancy, in Jeannie, or Bruce, or Yvonne, or First Christian Church"? Just a quick question. How many feel comfortable thinking of Jesus as your friend? Good. Good. Why would someone see Jesus when they look at us? Because we're doing the same things Jesus would do. We are staying connected with God, remaining in God's love, producing fruit for God's kingdom. And how do we do that? Jesus said, "Obey my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Where do Jesus' actions end and ours begin? It should be too hard to tell one from the other, just as it is impossible to distinguish Jesus' actions from those of the Creator. They are one and the same, because they're both of the same vine. Where do the roots end and the stem begin on a plant? Where does the stem end and the petiola begin? Where does the petiola end and the leaf or the bloom begin? Some of those words are new to me. Look at this church. Our mission statement says, "God calls First Christian Church, disciples of Christ, to praise God and change lives in the Grand Valley and beyond." How can we change lives if we don't connect with other lives in relationships? If we don't connect with them in praising God and then invite them to join us in changing lives by building relationships with others? How do we build these relationships? By sharing the love of Jesus. Jesus spelled it out right here in our scripture. For starters, it means losing the self-interest. We ask ourselves, what can I get out of church? Connections in the community? A good feeling about myself? Peace in my soul? Acceptance? Love? I hope you do receive each of these. But that's the wrong question to ask. You've been promoted to be a friend of Jesus. How about, where is my place on the vine? That's a better question. Where does your fruit, love, service, leadership, prayer, etc., end? And where does mine begin? We are one church. We are part of one branch, disciples of Christ, part of one stem, the body of Christ around the world. Where does our mission end and the Christian church in Denver or Cheyenne begin? The Methodists or the Presbyterians? Our call is to be one in Jesus and with our God. Within our congregation, we have some specific leadership roles. Pastor, elder, deacon, board chair, ministry chair. But the most important roles, being a disciple of Jesus, especially sharing the good news and inviting others into relationship with God through Jesus, we all have that responsibility. When you walked in the door this morning, who were you expecting to serve today? Whose role is it to greet people? Just Marv this morning? Especially the guests. To notice people that might have a need today. Remember, there is no retirement from being a disciple or a friend of Jesus. If you're not comfortable with these roles, experiment. Try it once. Each Sunday, let's start with next Sunday, look for one way you can serve another person. Serve another person. Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." What are the commands Jesus was talking about? Do remember, Jesus was still in that upper room where he washed their feet, where he said, "Do what I do. Do what Jesus did. Wash each other's feet." And maybe that's a metaphor, but forget your selfishness. Serve each other. Lose yourself in the community, the family of God. Share the good news. Share the love of Jesus. Get a promotion. Be a friend of Jesus. Do these things and you will find that you are loving each other. Do these things without thinking of yourself and find that our church is filled with that kind of love. Do these things without even thinking of ourselves as a church and the neighborhood and community will notice that this church will be filled with that kind of love. They won't be able to tell where the people and their service ends and where God's good works and grace begin. We won't be able to tell either, and we'll find our joy is complete. So what I'm saying is, you've been promoted. You are not here for your own self-interest. That might have brought you here, but you've been promoted. You're not here as a servant for the pastor or the board moderator or even the rest of the congregation. You're not even here to just write a check. You've been promoted as a friend of Jesus. And that makes you one with the vine, one with the body of Christ, the church here in Grand Junction, and all around the world. You have been promoted to share the love of Jesus. by serving others. Our take-home question: how can we at First Christian Church better show love to our neighborhood and beyond? Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for calling us, inviting us to be your church, to be in relationship with you and with each other, to be a part of one love, one vine, one relationship that all are working together towards the glory and the purposes of your kingdom. Oh God, thank you for your love. Thank you for breathing your love into us so that we can breathe it out through serving others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.